need your help in praying and fighting back.
But Gideon was nowhere to be found. As a matter of fact, he was hiding in a pit his father used for crushing grapes.
"You can't be talking to me,"
Gideon stammered.
"I'm no brave and mighty man."
But God knew what he was doing. He always does.
"You're the man, all right,"
God said.
"The Midianites have my people surrounded, and I want you to round up an army to stop them."
Gideon did what God told him, and to his surprise, over 30,000 men agreed to join him.
"Gideon,"
God whispered.
"Oh, Gideon, you have far too many men. I want you to send some of them away."
"There are more Midianites than I can count,"
Gideon stammered.
"I need all the help I can get."
But God knew what he was doing. He always does.
"I am all the help you need,"
God said.
"So tell the men who are frightened to go home."
Gideon did what God told him, and when he had finished, there were only 10,000 left.
"Gideon,"
God whispered.
"Oh, Gideon,"
God called.
"You still have too many men, so here's what I want you to do."
Gideon listened to God's plan. Gideon stammered and shook. Then he led his men to the river and told them to have a drink. Some soldiers lapped up the water like dogs. Gideon sent them home. Others got down on their knees and scooped up the water in their hands. Those were the soldiers Gideon kept. And when he had finished, there were only 300 left.
"Gideon,"
God whispered.
"Oh, Gideon,"
God called.
"Now we are ready to fight the Midianites."
"But there are thousands of them,"
Gideon stammered.
"And only 300 of us. How can we possibly win?"
"You can't,"
God said.
"Not without my help. And that's what I want you to see. Now listen. Here's my plan."
Later that night, Gideon led his 300 men to the edge of the Midianite camp. In one hand, every soldier carried a trumpet, and in the other hand, an earthenware pot with a flaming torch inside. There wasn't a sword in sight. At Gideon's signal, the soldiers blew their trumpets, smashed their pots, and shouted, "For the Lord and for Gideon!"
"Ah!"
The Midianite soldiers awoke, startled. It seemed as if there was a noise and fire all around them. Dazed and confused, they stumbled about in the dark, into each other and over each other, and it wasn't long before they were fighting each other too. When all the fighting had stopped, the Midianite soldiers who were left ran away, convinced that they had been defeated by some great army. But it was only Gideon, his 300 men, and a God who knew what he was doing all along.
Well, good morning to you all. Many of you will know that I'm part of a rather large family. There's eight of us. And one of the games that my older, youngest brother, Michael, taught me to play was Risk. I don't know if any of you are familiar with that game, but it's a game that with the shake of maybe two or three dice could determine the outcome of who would win or lose, dependent on the odds at play. And in life, we can see the odds we're up against every day of the week. We look at the resources we feel we have, and based on that, we make a decision based purely on maybe the practical elements, and perhaps that often the right thing to do, but I wonder whether that's how God necessarily looks at things. From our story this morning, told by the fabulous retelling of Matthew and Ron and Alison, is there an opportunity for us to maybe think differently about this? To think differently both in day-to-day life and in our life here at Burr Heath, bringing the presence of God to people in the village community and the other communities that we're part of. We heard in the story that God tells Gideon that he would use him to defeat Israel's enemies, the Midianites. But picture the scene. The Midianites, all 135,000 of them. So Gideon got together the biggest army he could, a minuscule 32,000 in comparison. So a proportion of roughly one man in Gideon's army for almost every four in the Midianites. Now, I was considering using the risk pieces and thinking of putting the 135,000 on here and then the 32,000 of Gideon, but I just thought we'd probably be here until lunchtime. You probably want your lunch today. The added thing is that there is Messy Church happening this afternoon, and in Messy Church we're going to be thinking and exploring about Psalm 23, the psalm that maybe many of us know as the Lord's My Shepherd. So I've tried to simplify things with some coins. So here, whoops, I have 13 tenpence pieces. So every tenpence piece represents around about 10,000 of the army. Ooh, all fingers and thumbs this morning. I do want to pile them up so that you can just maybe see them. So 135,000 of the Midianites, and now we've got two tenpence pieces and two penny pence pieces for the 22. So, you know, you can already see that the odds aren't necessarily brilliant, but, you know, let's, you know, just sort of think about that a little bit more. You know, it might be tough for Gideon at this stage, but it might just be possible. But then we hear that God tells Gideon, you've got too many. His force is just too large. So God instructed Gideon to tell those who are frightened to go home. So with that, that sort of meant that two-thirds of those went. So, you know, we're left with a couple of thousand, maybe. And then that would then make the split of Gideon's army to the Midianites, one Israelite to every 13, roughly. You know, I'm sure there are some decimal places for the mathematicians amongst us. But I wonder at this stage, those that had said they weren't afraid were now starting to feel very afraid. But God decided that the army was still too big. And so we heard about the men going to the river to have a drink. And those who lapped the water like dogs were sent home. And you might be wondering, well, why did they use that as the criteria? Well, actually, drinking like that would invite the enemy to creep up behind them and push them in and drown them. So having sent all those who drank like this home, Gideon was now left with just 300 men. Odds of 450-1. Now, there isn't such a thing as a third of a pence, but I was able in the house somehow, don't ask me how, I was able to find a half pence piece. I didn't realise that those had been taken out of commission as legal tender back in 1984. So I dread to think, you know, what other things are lurking in my house. But basically, you know, these are now the odds, a half penny piece versus all of that. So, this would mean that Gideon would really need to trust God to show his power. Now, just to check to see that you've been paying attention, I've got a question for you all. You know, I do like a little bit of an interaction. So, if you were sending some people into battle, which of the following would you give to people? Would it be bows and arrows? Put your hands up if you think it's bows and arrows. Would you send them with sticks and stones to break their bones? Or swords or maybe other pointy things? Yeah, I can see some nods there. A trumpet and a clay jar with a torch inside. We've got some people saying yes, or a semi-automatic machine gun. Of course, yeah, the bullets, yes, yeah, thank you, Simon, thank you. Yes, yeah, I missed that off. Yes, sorry, I have to correct that for another time. So if you did answer D, then you're getting the idea of how far God was prepared to go in order to show his power through Gideon. Yes, they had a trumpet and a lamp, but no sword in sight. Gideon's army split up into three groups, I'd like to say, to surround the camp, but obviously that wasn't the case with just 300 men. And at Gideon's signal, they all blew their trumpets and smashed their jars, and we heard how this created confusion among the Midianites, causing them to fight each other, and the Midianites were defeated. Now, I don't know whether the army blowing their horns reminded you of another story in the Old Testament, the fall of Jericho, which was a very significant moment in the history of the Israelites. I wonder whether God used something familiar to the Israelites so that they could go into battle, a battle of noise rather than weaponry, with greater confidence, knowing that the Lord had shown his power in the past, and so why would he not show his power again? Before this night, I bet that neither Gideon nor the Midianites would have thought it possible to win with such a small army. But through this, God taught Gideon something absolutely amazing. And I wonder whether this is something that can be an encouragement to us as well. He is able to work in power, even when we feel that the odds are stacked against us. He's able to do what we might consider impossible or unlikely. Not because we've created lots of resource to make it happen, but because he has called us to do something. Our responsibility, like Gideon, is to be obedient to what he has called us to do, and to leave the other things to him, trusting that he has a plan and he will achieve it. Often we may not know precisely what it is. Often we may think, really? But by listening for and to God through prayer and studying the Bible, we will know and sense better what the Lord may be asking us to do. Are we willing to trust God like Gideon did? Being willing to be moved out of our comfort zones to enable our own spiritual growth and development and that of others, to enable the image of God to be known both within and beyond the church's walls. I pray that our prayer each and every day would be that. That we would be willing to trust God just like Gideon did, however bizarre or impossible we think the odds might be.
Come and lead us in our intercessions.